Stories Online.
When you sign up to be an EPP, extra podcast person to Real Ghost Stories Online, you'll have access to the best ghost stories we've ever told.
The oven doors started slamming open and closed. And in places like this, oven doors take up entire walls.
Never before had I seen such clear evidence of something non-human being in a room with me.
Because it felt like somebody was here. You know, you see I Did It written in paint, where you just paint it.
These are stories only EPP members have access to.
I don't know why, but I just wonder if that scream isn't a family member that was there to claim their loved one.
There was like something standing there right in the threshold of the doorway, and I was paralyzed. I couldn't breathe.
It's only $5 a month when you sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com by clicking Become an EPP.
There was an old lady standing at the foot of the bed, and she said she could see details and everything. You know, it just looked like an old lady standing at the foot of the bed.
You'll get access to the best ghost stories and exclusive video content we've ever created.
I have no doubt in my mind that it was completely supernatural.
But it felt like it was in my head. Like, it didn't feel like I was hearing it. It felt like it was in my head.
Become an EPP now and help keep our show on the air. At realghoststoriesonline.com, click Become an EPP.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. Our phone number, 855-853-4802. Welcome to the show. If you are a new listener in the month of October, it's a month where a lot of folks find us for the first time. If you're a returning listener to the show, welcome back. This is the show, of course, where we share a lot of ghost stories submitted by you guys, calls, emails, audio files sent in, and sometimes videos where stories are mimed to us, and then
not so much.
And then I interpret them through interpretive dance, and then Jenny does the play-by-play. So it's mimed stories. Tony interpretively dances them, and then Jenny interprets that into a ghost story. That's how we do our show here.
Okay.
It's a new way. It's an interpretation of an interpretation of an interpretation.
Okay.
It's a new thing we do. So that's what we do here at the show. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Bunk bed. Did you hear that?
I heard that.
You hear that sound? Mm-hmm. Isn't that cute? Mm-hmm. Isn't that pretty? What I'm holding in my hand, actually, is a new addition to the Real Ghost Stories Online family. This is our...
Is that the logo one?
This is our new bunk bed bell.
Look at that.
And now, of course, we've talked about bunk bed bells here on the show before. You guys have even sent us bunk bed bells. But we are doing something new and exciting here very soon, where you guys... We'll have a way to get your very own bunk bed bell. I don't have all the details put together yet. I'm working on it, and in the coming episodes, we'll fill you in on how you too can be the proud owner of a bunk bed bell, and you can have it right next to you wherever you listen to the show, so you can ding along with us as we say the word bunk bed and annoy the living crap out of your friends, family, and pets.
And coworkers.
That'd be great.
So many of our listeners listen all day at work.
Yeah, with like earbuds and stuff mm-hmm. in. And then you're going to have coworkers be like, are they talking about bunk beds a bit again? And you'll be like, yes, they are. They sure are. So, yeah, we got those in today. And at first I'm like, what is this large box that's dinging? Because
it was dinging.
Well, you move the box around mm-hmm. and they're all individually not wrapped. And you...
I ordered something magical.
like, that's a lot of dinging. I don't know what's going on in this box. And it was heavy, too, because they're metal. So, anyway, we'll talk more about that soon. But get excited. Bunk bed bells.
Are you going to give me one of the two originals? Just so our listeners know, there are two original bunk bed bells, and he won't share either with me.
I offered you one of them.
You did not.
I did, too. I said, I like this ornate one. And it's, I mean, I like them both. They're mm-hmm. both great. But I just thought this ornate one's a little bit louder, so it works on the air a little bit better.
Okay.
So that's why I keep that one right here, because it can pick up better.
Okay.
You want one of them? This is the one you want.
I want the Disney one.
Okay.
I want the Disney one.
We'll put that one on your desk.
Okay.
Sure.
The Haunted Mansion. Or yes. Not the Haunted Mansion, but the Tower of Terror one.
Yeah, and I love that one too. I just was going with what's going to be a little bit louder, mm-hmm. and I figure if I start dinging like two bells on the air, I'm going to get, there'll be violence.
Okay.
So, that's the ornate one.
Okay.
But yeah, you can put that one. Are you going to ding it like when you're going through our stories and finding them and you find hear a bunk bed, I'm going to hear a ding out the wall?
I don't know. I just think, you know, you get to keep all the cool swag.
Yeah, sure. You can. you want one of these too? One of these little mini ones? You can have like bells all over your desk.
Yeah.
The girls are like, can I ding all the... Because trust me, it's a magnet for them.
Just so you know, I got dibs on a piece of fan art coming.
Oh, what do we get? What's coming?
From a listener named... Excuse me, I can't talk. A listener named Natalie sending us Ouija fan art. Ouija pizza fan art.
Ouija pizza fan art.
Remember Ouija pizza?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So there's... Is she like sending us like a Ouija board that's a pizza?
No,
it's
like
a pizza box
Ouija
board.
It looks more like an advertisement for Ouija pizza.
Okay, that'll be fun.
Yeah, it doesn't have like, it's not like a Ouija board on it.
All right,
I'll show you a picture.
I'm excited to see that. Let's get our first caller today. It's Tanisha in Michigan.
Hello,
hi.
This is Tanisha from Detroit. I have a story for you guys. I was actually in your episode 87 for your EPP, I think it was called Getting to Know You. And since that event, I personally have not really had any problems. However, my daughter and my sister have had some paranormal type of things going on. So here's the story. A couple weeks ago, my daughter, who is away at college, brought her cat over to my sister's house to stay for a couple of weeks. She was actually in between apartments, and so she was staying with a friend, and her cat couldn't come with her. So she let the cat stay with my sister. Just while she moved into the new apartment, you know, I got everything situated. While the cat, and his name is Frankie, was staying with my sister started having some weird things going on in her home. She'd come home and she would find the cabinet doors open, and she would find different things moved around in the house and the windows open and the lights on. And she didn't initially tell me about the lights, but we'll get to that later. But she did tell me about the rug being flipped over. So this one particular night, she woke up in the middle of the night and she heard what she thought was the cat in the living room, like banging up against stuff and like just making all types of noise. And she does stay in a really, really old historic apartment building in downtown Detroit. So she just, you know, went back to sleep figuring the cat's up making a bunch of noise. So when she woke up and she went in the living room, she saw that her huge oriental rug had been like flipped over. And up under the rug was like a pile of cat litter. But the way that the cat litter was up under the rug, it looked like someone had dumped it, not that the cat had kicked it, you know, in that pile. So, because there wasn't like a trail leading from the litter box to the pile. So she thought that was strange. So now, fast forward, my daughter came and got her cat. Now, the strange thing about Frankie is when my daughter was on her way to get the cat just started like sitting at the front door. Like, how does the cat know that she's coming to get picked up or he's coming to get picked up? And so the cat was sitting at the front door while she's, you know, at the door knocking. And then, you know, she came, got the cat or whatever, took it to the new apartment. So when my daughter, who does not like to talk about anything paranormal, I think I mentioned that in the EPP episode 87, she's like, doesn't want to hear anything about this type of stuff. So one night she heard the cat, like, again in the middle of the night, same thing like my sister, banging around, running around the house, and it sounded like things were crashing. And she said she was so tired that she just couldn't get up to go and look. And so the next day when she woke up and she went and looked to see what the cat had torn up, nothing was out of place, nothing at all. She said she expected to see that he'd knocked over something, but she didn't find anything. Now a couple of days later, her roommate, who's never home, came home, and she just told her this yesterday, that she was in the tub taking a bath and the door was cracked. And so she saw what looked like somebody peeping in the bathroom through the cracks in the door. And so she said, "Hey, Lee," because that's my daughter's nickname. And she said, when she said that, the door just shut like somebody just pulled it. But she didn't hear anybody walking away or anything like that. So she, who is actually Jewish and doesn't believe in paranormal things, told my daughter, "I think our apartment is haunted." Another thing is my daughter is having the same issue like my sister, where she comes home and the lights are on and the cabinets are open. So either Frankie has the ability of turning on lights and opening cabinets, or there's something that possibly is following him. Either it picked it up at my sister's house, who her apartment is really old, and she hears somebody walking all day and night up over her, which I told her, "Are you sure somebody even lives up there?" But she's too scared to find out. So she always hears somebody like walking across the floor for hours at an end. And either it followed Frankie to my daughter's house, or, you know, Frankie has something attached to him. Anyway, that's my story. I thought that was kind of interesting. I didn't tell my daughter because she'll probably freak out if she knew that her aunt was having the same problems. So love you guys. Talk to you later. Bye.
It'll be one of those odd conversations someday where it's like everybody's connecting the dots and it's like, "Oh my God, you had this going on?" Yeah, Molly even called it into a ghost show. So like about 100,000 people knew about it all except for you.
So do you think a ghost would attach itself to a cat?
I think a ghost can pretty much attach itself to whatever it wants.
But I think that's a new one for us, is a haunted pet.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you have to wonder like how much control it can have,
mm-hmm.
and if it's what type of ghost that could be.
Yeah,
you know, can a human ghost, like if I wanted to go haunt somewhere once I'm dead, you know, do I have the ability to kind of take over a cat?
I could see you doing that. That's totally.
If I could, that would be awesome.
Totally, what you would do.
And I just do crazy stuff. It would be like. The cat would end up like in Ripley's because the cat would be doing so many insane things.
Yeah, I could see that.
It'd be great. But do you, if you're a human ghost, have that ability? Or is that something that kind of requires a little bit something deeper or darker, or not even necessarily dark? I suppose it could be too.
Mm-hmm.
But something beyond what a human ghost can or cannot.
Well, I don't think the ghost takes over the cat.
Yeah.
I think it's more so the ghost now goes along with the cat.
Manipulates the cat?
Maybe not even that. Maybe it's just, "Oh, I love this cat. I just always want to be with this cat."
Sure.
I think that's more what we're talking about here. Because mm-hmm. somewhere along the way, this cat went from having just a normal cat life to now whoever watches the cat suddenly has some kind of poltergeist activity.
It's a lucky cat. Got someone who's always watching out for it all the time.
And it's not things that the cat can control. Yeah. It's just
sure.
weird.
I think cats, I think pets, quite honestly, quite often have ghosts that are watching out for them.
Yeah.
The way that they look at things, the way that sometimes they react to things. I think that animals, I think they're all empaths.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
I think they all have this sense that's just another sense to them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're seeing shit all the time that we're not.
Mm-hmm.
So, there you go.
Okay.
Sometimes it crosses over where we can experience it too and go, "Oh, the cat, this is with the cat." Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, there you go. Thanks for the call. We appreciate that. 855-853-4802, our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to Rebecca in South Carolina. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. My name is Rebecca, and I'm calling out of Charleston, South Carolina. I've been listening to your show for a while now, and today I finally became an EPP so I can get access to some of your other stories and to support the show. Well, I have had paranormal experiences all throughout my life, I guess. I grew up in a haunted house in the country, like an old farmhouse. But I also am now living in Charleston, South Carolina, which is supposed to be very haunted as well. You may have heard that it's purportedly one of the most haunted cities in America, kind of like Savannah, Georgia, or New Orleans. But, well, I thought that I might just share two experiences today, two experiences where I was touched by an unseen entity, physically touched. Well, the first one occurred at my friend's apartment. I was an overnight waitress at the time, so I was not sleeping very well, and I was at her house, and if anyone's familiar with Charleston, this house was on Nassau Street. Everybody that lived there said that it was haunted. They said that they would wake up in the night and see a shadow man, that sort of thing, lots of unexplainable things being moved, you know, things like that. So I decided to take a nap on this particular evening. Everybody else was awake. I remember they were waiting for her brother to come in out of town, so I just said, I'm having trouble staying awake. I'm going to go take a nap in your bed, to my friend. So I was aware that the house was haunted, but I was not uncomfortable because everyone else was in the other room. I could hear them talking, the lights were on, and I felt very comfortable, very relaxed. I wasn't, you know, on guard for anything strange to happen at the time, so I was comfortable and I was drifting off to sleep, and then I was awoken by something touching my shoulder. And, you know, a skeptic might argue that I had dreamed it, but I can distinctly remember that it pulled me out of my sleep, it woke me up. So, and I didn't really think too much of it, and I just turned over to my side, and then a few seconds later I felt like kind of a finger just like traced down my spine, and it made me feel so awful. Like, it was just the coldest, like, most dreadful feeling, so much so that I began to cry. It made me cry, and my friend came in, and I told her what happened, and she said that the same thing had been happening to her throughout the night. When she would sleep, something would touch her hair and her face. So it kind of was validating for both of us to realize that the same thing had happened when she hadn't, you know, told me of that. So that was very strange. I was touched another time a few years later. That happened in, like, 2012. And then about a year ago, I was living on Rutledge Avenue, and this apartment was also kind of haunted, and I could probably tell many stories about that apartment, but I'm just going to limit myself to these two experiences. I was always uncomfortable there, and always, you know, had the sensation of being watched, and strange things would happen there too. But on this particular night, I was doing homework. It was pretty late. I was reading in my bed, and I started hearing this awful sound, like scratching and scraping all throughout my room. It started on the walls, and then it was moving around to, like, the floorboards, and it was just really strange, and it was freaking me out pretty intensely. So I actually went and woke my roommate up and asked him to sit with me for a few minutes. So he sat with me, and we smoked a cigarette or something for, like, 20 minutes. And when he was there, the sound completely stopped, and then everything was fine. So he went back to bed. But as soon as he left me, it started up again. The noise started. So I was like, you know, it didn't sound like an animal or anything. And like I said, it was moving all around. So this time I just decided that I was going to ignore it and just, you know, pretend that it wasn't there. And that is when I felt something flick me on my forehead. It was very, very distinct. And it felt so invasive and, like, disturbing. It flicked me right where, you know, you might say the third eye is, quote unquote. So I just thought that was really strange. So I've had many experiences that are paranormal in the city and growing up. And I'll probably call again in the future to share more with you. I think your guys' show is great. I think it's important for people to be able to have a place where they can share their experiences and validate them, because these things are real. And, thank you, guys. Take care.
The touchy ghosts. You know, and it's like, once you've been touched, I think you are probably going to be touched again at some point. It's kind of like, once you've had a haunting experience, you're probably going to have another one at some point. It's like a threshold that's been crossed.
Touched by an Angel really, really made it feel like it was something special.
That show. I hated that show.
It's not exactly that experience now, is it?
No.
It's a little creepier.
Yeah.
Than Della Reese?
You have nothing to add, do you?
Who was in that?
Ugh. I don't remember. It was just
weird. I don't want to be touched by a ghost. I've never experienced it.
Yeah.
It's not that I can think of. I know you had your butt grabbed by a ghost.
I did.
At a winery.
I did. And that
and she was not drinking.
I was not drinking.
No. It was you were filming, and then our camera acted up at the same time. You got a little grabby grab from a touchy feely ghost.
Yeah. Yeah, that was special.
Did it just feel like normal? Like
it felt like Olivia was about Harper's age at the time,
sure.
So she was I think 4.
Mm-hmm.
And it just felt like she was pushing on
yeah.
You know, the back of me, and you know, a little kid's about butt height.
Sure. It wasn't like cold or
no. No.
Electric.
No, it was more just like a pressure. Just
okay.
Like
felt
little,
normal.
Little kids rubbing up on the back of mom.
Sure. Nope.
She's across the room.
It was a ghost.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's... it sounds like with this one, you know, it was very distinct.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just... I mean, obviously, there wasn't anyone there to be doing it, but... would it have felt different, and I'm asking you... Had there not been all these other people around where you were brushing it off at the moment it was happening as it was, you know, one of the kids. If you're in a room, no one's there and you feel it, does that add more to it? Does that, you know, I could see that being a little more chilling immediately, you know, just knowing that there's nobody by you.
Sure.
You know, and that would be more psychological, not necessarily the touch itself that's creating that reaction. But just the knowledge that there's nobody here to be doing it, where when you're in a room with other people and you're not necessarily paying attention to them at that second, you can brush it off and it takes a moment to go, oh, you know.
I don't know if it really makes a difference.
No?
No. I mean, either way, you're going to have that your gut sinks when you realize nothing alive just touched you.
It's a creepy statement.
So.
Nothing alive just touched you,
mm-hmm.
but something did.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Make a good album title.
No.
I was going to say, not a show title. It's too long, but a good Nothing Alive Just Touched You, the latest from John Mayer. Wonder how that would go. I'm not going to do it. 855-853.
Why John Mayer?
I don't know. It just sounds like you get the guitar out, you know. Nothing alive just touched you.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
Don't.
I did go into it.
Did not sound like him at all.
I know, I'm not good at that.
Nope.
I should get a guitar in here. I can't play guitar.
No,
but then
shouldn't.
I could just strum at it and do really bad impersonations of artists that I can't impersonate and change lyrics. Although I'm doing that already. It's just a cappella. Great.
Okay.
Let's get another caller. Hi.
Good morning, Brewskis. This is Haley from Central California calling in again. I know I just recently called in with my experiences of growing up in a haunted house. More so me being a haunted person, I guess you could say. But this story today revolves around our brand new marriage. My now husband and I just got married on September the 17th. And for 3.5 years, we fought a demon and we had no clue. We had no clue we were fighting as hard as we were. And I guess with that prologue, I will just dive right into the story. So I met my now husband 3.5 years ago in Richmond, Virginia. I was his boss, and I had just gotten out of a really nasty, nasty marriage, and I was not ready to date anyone or be in a relationship at all. And he was kind and wonderful and sweet and very attractive, and but I just wasn't ready. I wasn't ready. So we stayed friends for a little bit, and he kept on me about dating him. So I finally gave in. I finally said yes to the very cute, sweet guy, and thus became us. Well, in the very beginning of our relationship, we would hang out a lot just at the restaurant right across the street because it was open quite late, and we were both in the restaurant business, so this was the only place that was open after we got off work so we could grab a drink. We're sitting in the parking lot one night, and I look over to my right, and in the bushes is something. And the reason I say something is because this thing was not human, and it was not animal. It looked demonic in every way. A little bull-headed goblin thing. And the reason I say bullheaded is because this thing literally had horns and very red eyes. It was, I guess, everything a demon should be looking. And again, I'm a sensitive, so I tend to hide my emotion and my shock because a lot of what I see, other people don't see. Well, my husband was very perceptive, and he followed my line of sight to where I was looking, and he saw it as well. And the next exclamation was, "Holy bleep, do you see that? Holy bleep, what is that? Oh my God, we gotta go." And I looked at him and I said, "You can see that. You can actually see that. I'm not, you can see it?" And he said, "Yeah, I can see it. It's creepy as hell. Let's get out of here." So we left and we didn't talk about it. I didn't realize that my soon-to-be was sensitive in any way. So we didn't talk about it. A couple weeks later, Sam, my husband, stayed over for one of the very few times he actually stayed with me. And I lived in an older house with a roommate, and it was all wood floors and very creaky and old. And my husband has awful eyesight, so we had a nightlight in the hallway, and we would leave our door cracked, or my bedroom door cracked, in case he needed to go to use the restroom. He didn't have to grab his glasses and like walk all the way down the hallway. He could just, you know, kind of stumble his way by light to the bathroom. So we left the door cracked. Well, one night I'm laying there and I had been asleep and I woke up in a dead panic. I'm scared and I have no idea why I'm scared and I can't move. Night paralysis for the very first time, and it was the scariest feeling in the world, and I had no idea what was going on. All I knew is I couldn't move my body. I'm in a dead state of panic, and for whatever reason, I'm completely compelled to look out into the hallway. So I do, and clear as day, I see those red eyes looking back at me. Now, the panic that ensued in me after that was full force. It hit me like a ton of bricks. I have, because I'm sensitive, I have always blessed doorways to my bedroom, windows to my bedroom, even though I'm not religious. That is just for my own sense of sanity, I guess, at that point. It's comfort. So I knew this thing could not come in my room, but this thing could obviously come in our house. And I sat there looking at it for quite some time, and then it finally just went away. I could not go back to sleep that night. I laid there awake, and Lord knows I wasn't going to mention it to Sam. So I waited, because again, I'm on East Coast time. I waited for the proper time, and I called my best friend on the West Coast. She was in California. And I'm like, "Lizzie, you have no idea. Like, here's the crazy dream I had. This is freaking crazy. It felt so real." And the other end of the line is dead silent. And she goes, "Haley, and the exact same thing happened at the exact same time." And I stopped, and we had this moment of silence, and then we both just kind of laughed, because we're always exhausted, right? And we're thinking, "God, we must be soulmates. We always say we're soulmates. We must be soulmates, same dream, same time. That's weird." Well, fast forward to us moving to California. Everything was quiet. We get from Virginia to California. We don't think about it. Nothing's happening. Nothing weird. Then we get engaged in August of 2015 in brewskis that, for whatever reason, just kicked up a bunch of activity. So I fully believe that this thing had influence over my husband in every way, shape, and form. There were moments where my husband was not the man I knew. And mind you, I've been with him quite some time. There shouldn't be any surprises at this point. Like, we've lived together for the majority of our relationship. Like, I know this man. There are reasons I married this man. And there were moments where I didn't know him. Moments where I would literally go, "I don't know who you are, and I don't know why you're acting this way. This isn't you." And it became very weird, and it would only happen randomly, and it would only happen when I was completely isolated, where there was no way anyone could help me, anyone I was close to. I'm across the country, or I'm in a different, you know, state completely, or it would always happen when I had no help. So we're going to fast forward again to now. So we're getting ready for this wedding. We got married on September 17th, and you know, it's crazy. There's just so much hectic, nuts stuff that's going on. And you can feel the tension building, right? And we're writing it off to anxiety. It's all anxiety for the wedding. It's all wedding anxiety. Well, I started having dreams, major dreams of death. And I'm a happy person. I'm a very happy person. Although I am intrigued with the afterlife and I have a rather morbid brain, I don't dream morbidly. More often than not, I don't dream at all. When I do have a dream, I am one who is known to have prophetic dreams. So they're kind of few and far between. How about that? My dreams are few and far between. So when I'm continually having a dream, I start to panic because it normally means it's prophetic, normally. Well, pardon me, preceding this wedding, I was having dreams. I was plagued with dreams of death. Death of our best friends crashing in airplanes, which is one of my greatest fears. My husband getting in a motor vehicle accident on the way to the reception. And these dreams felt so real, brewskies. They felt like I was living them. And they were heart-wrenching and devastating. And I wasn't sleeping. Leading up to this wedding, I was not sleeping at all because I was so scared that if I went to sleep, that these dreams I was having would come to fruition. So I wasn't sleeping and I was not eating because I was scared. This thing started to affect me. It started to get to me and it started to waste me away. My best friend and my husband's best friend arrived on Wednesday the 13th, and it was a great day. We got to go up and pick them up and have lunch with them and just enjoy our best friends. So we got to do all of that. Well, that night we come home, and we're sitting there with our best friends, and I'm compelled to look up and out the window, which I normally don't do. I'm not a window person. I'm not a mirror person. I don't like them. And this thing is pacing outside of our window, and Brewski's, it's the same thing. It's the same thing from Virginia. It has followed us to California, and it's bigger. It's no longer this little bull goblin-looking thing. It is a full-fledged, almost centaurish-looking demon, and it is pacing and snarling outside of our house, and I know those red eyes. I know those red eyes anywhere. Those are the red eyes that have followed us for years, and I told it, no. You don't get any power over this wedding. You don't get any power over us. It's not going to happen. You're not going to ruin this. I know what you're doing. And it looked at me and it walked away. And I was in a dead panic from then on until we got married. I know my time's coming to a close, so I'm going to wrap it up here. But the day we got married, which is September 17th, we gave our first kiss as husband and wife, and Brewskis, the weight that was lifted off our shoulders was insane. It was absolutely immense. We kicked this thing's ass, and I know I said I wouldn't cuss, but the pride I feel and the it's amazing. It's all amazing. We feel so much better. So I'm curious as to what you guys think. I'm curious as to if you think this thing was plaguing me or if you think this thing was plaguing our relationship. I'm just curious all the way around as to what you guys think, but thank you so much for everything. You guys are amazing. We listen to you all the time, and we appreciate all that you guys do. So we will send another one in later. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for the story.
What do you think?
My question about it is, and it's kind of bigger picture, then I can go back to their specific case, is how often do you think when people are being haunted by something troubling, mm-hmm. something that is, you know, causing issues, you know, at times it feels like it's for one person, sometimes it's both. How often are people haunted or plagued by something dark? And they view it as it's them that's being targeted, but really it's a relationship that's being targeted. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean, but I don't know. You know, because we hear so many stories about how it seems like something comes in and it tries to break up the family. Mm-hmm. You know, divorce happens or mm-hmm. breakup of a serious relationship happens, things like that. And I don't know if that is the intent or if that is just a byproduct of one person being haunted.
You know, I almost wonder if the intent is more so the disturbing of the relationships, because that can end up being much more of a long-term issue for people than just, oh, I'm being haunted. Or you know, this is bothering me right now. It can do much more damage by that, and then it skedaddles on out of there, and it's done its damage, and then it's the people that look at each other as the problem, where it was more so this other thing is actually what went in and caused the things to happen. I wonder how often relationships between people, and not just couples, but everything.
Mm-hmm. No,
and any relationship of meaning to an individual, between two people or a group of people, how often that is the point of target more so than just, an individual.
Yeah, I have no idea.
You know, especially in a case like this where they got married, and it seems like after that and after they were able to tell it to leave and demonstrate that they could survive it, it goes away.
But that, you know, talking about this case and to be specific, I wonder if it really was something demonic or if it was just something trying to cause them problems. Because it sounds like them getting married and telling it to leave was enough.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not typically what has to go on to get rid of something like that.
Yeah, you would think it would just continue on and continue on until it breaks that even up.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard to, I mean, that's where you have to kind of look at it deeper. Is it... What do you think in this specific case? Do you think it's more so in the category of something dark and demonic, or more so like a jealous ass soul, if you will?
Well, I know she saw it, and it doesn't sound like a person ghost.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't sound like it took a whole lot to get rid of it, so that's what kind of makes me a little afraid.
Mm-hmm.
To say one way or the other. And I also, I'm kind of like, okay, if it was something demonic, why did it really just kind of go away once they were married and it didn't continue on? Because I don't see that as a common pattern in stories that we've had where that's been like a barrier.
No, you're exactly right. It hasn't been. The only thing that could come to my mind, and I don't know that this would be the answer, but could something to do with the religious ceremony that they would have had when they got married, could that have been the blockade? You know, in this case. But it's odd because that's not been necessarily the answer to many other cases. So I don't know.
I don't know, and I hope it continues to stay calm.
Yeah, me too. It, just kind of a story that makes you kind of think about some other perspectives on the haunting. So thank you for taking the time to share that with us. That story, obviously, you heard the sound quality a little bit different than a phone call. So that's another way you can share stories with us. Just recording it right there on the voice recorder app on whatever device you use. And you can email that audio file over to us, an MP3, M4A, whatever it may be. You can email it to Jenny, J-E-N-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. Also, a great way to get us audio if you're overseas and you don't want to have to call and do long distance or anything like that internationally. So that can be emailed that way as well. Let's go to caller in Missouri. Hi, you're on the show.
Hey, guys. My name's Haley. I'm from a little town in Kansas. But the story I want to share with you today actually happened when I was living in middle of nowhere, Missouri, with my parents. So this story has a lot of background, but it will make sense, I promise, but I apologize if I ramble, and I'll try to keep it brief. So this happened when I was about 12, and my sister would have been about 4 or 5 at the time, and a few months earlier for her birthday, she had gotten this little Dora kitchen, and it was really cute, and when you, like, open the fridge or turn the faucet, Dora would say something really cute. But it had a habit of talking by itself in the middle of the night, quite loudly, so my dad made it a rule that once my sister was done playing with it, one of us would turn Dora off so she wouldn't do it. And that worked. She didn't speak. It would have been around October. I'm not sure if it was before or after Halloween. Doesn't really matter, but it does tie in a little bit. I was out in the middle of the woods because we lived on a dirt road in the middle of the woods. And I mean in the middle, just a random house. But I was out in the woods with my dogs, being a super big nerd, and I had my little book, and I was looking what kind of trees we had and plants. And I noticed one of my dogs starts scratching at the ground. So I'm looking at her, trying to figure out what it is. And I pull out what I thought was an old horseshoe. But it looked a lot different than a normal one. So I run home, show it to my dad, and my dad looks at it, and he says, "This is a mule shoe, and it's really old from the looks of things." So I thought that was so neat, and my mom thought it was interesting, so we put it on the shelf in the house. A couple nights later, I was in bed. It would have been around 1 or 2 in the morning, and I'm hearing muffled voices. And I didn't know where it was coming from, so I opened my door, thinking something's wrong, and my parents are awake. And I don't hear anything, so I wait a minute, and then I hear the voices again. But they're really muffled, like when someone's talking to you on a phone. So I think to myself, oh no, someone forgot to turn Dora off. But why isn't my sister hearing this? So I go to my sister's room, and she's not there. I found out later she had gotten scared and went to my parents' bedroom to sleep, and now I see why, though she doesn't remember it. But I'm in her doorway, and all of a sudden, something came from that kitchen that was not Dora's voice. It was definitely a woman's, and an older woman, but all I could understand was, "Can you hear me? Can you see me?" It was very distorted, coming from the speaker. So I panic, and I reach in the back to turn Dora off, but it's already in the off position. I have never had my blood run cold before that incident or any time after. But then I remember in a class I was taking and at church that our youth pastor was talking about, that we have dominion over the supernatural. And if something's bothering you, ask it to leave. So me trying to be a super brave 12-year-old, I stand in the doorway and I say, "Look, I don't know what you are, but I demand that you leave." And then I felt this cold wind hit me. And it was strong enough that the little posters in my sister's room were moving. Though there was no windows, there was no fan, there was nothing on. So that brave 12-year-old that I thought I was ran back to her room, jumped on the bed, locked the door, and covered myself up and eventually fell asleep. But the next day, that didn't happen, and it has never happened since. And just on a side note, I was doing research, and I found out that where we were living at the time was a town during the Civil War. Incredibly strange. You would have never thought that. So I'm wondering if that horseshoe the mule shoe would have had something to do with it, because that was the only different thing we had brought in the house. But I was just kind of waiting to hear you guys' thoughts on it. I love your show. I have to do quite a bit of driving, and you guys help keep me awake. But I am a college student, so I'm not an EPB yet. Hopefully, when I get another job, that might be the case. But again, love the show, and thank you so much.
I don't know if it's the mule shoe that would have just, stirred everything up, but the timing kind of suspects maybe there was something else that was disturbed in the process.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, since they found out that their property was once the site of a town, it could be a lot of different things. So I don't know, but the way the woman was saying, "Can you hear me? Can you see me?" It's like she knew that our listener was on the sensitive side.
Yeah, and it wasn't residual.
No.
There was clear reaction. Mm-hmm. I wonder how often you have to do that as a ghost. Be repeating those words. Can you hear me? Can you see me?
I don't know.
Can you hear me? Can you see? Just wandering through a mall.
Yeah.
Repeating the same things. Do you think that time of year plays into the opportunity for items that are disturbed to make clearer contact? Like, for example, and I don't know the exact time of year that this occurred, mm-hmm. in that story. If she mentioned it, I don't recall. But, let's say some event, some triggering event in real life, mm-hmm. that was tragic for the dead when they were alive happened in October, to sure. say. And let's say that it was then disturbed in October many, many years later. Or let's do that the other way, the event was in October. Let's say the area gets disturbed in April.
Mm-hmm.
Are the odds higher that that the events, that something will be able to communicate clearly higher if it's around that time? Because it's...
The time of significance?
Yeah, versus... Or does it really matter?
I don't think it really matters, but I think there is a time of the year where it can make a difference, but not in a aspect of being significant towards that item. But, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, that's the whole reason we have Halloween, is there's sure. all these cultures that believe that the veil between the living and sure. dead is thin throughout October.
Sure.
So could it be maybe something happened with that mule shoe in April of 1868?
Mm-hmm.
It was disturbed in an October, and maybe that is what allowed it, because things are already more active.
I think more meteorologists in their forecasts should have, you know, sometimes we'll talk about the ozone levels.
Mm-hmm.
They should talk about the level of which the living and the dead can collide.
Okay.
It's like, better watch out today.
The
apparition levels are pretty thin today. So while you're out for that jog, you may just see, you know, that biker that got hit on a car 42 years ago okay. on your jog road. You know?
Yeah.
Something of that nature.
It's like the pollen levels.
Exactly. You do it right after the pollen and mold levels
uh-huh.
counts. Then you go to that the apparition levels.
Okay.
And like, pretty thick today. Chance of seeing the dead, not too great. And the winner of our umbrella, for you just kind of move along. And sports yeah. is next.
I don't know.
That more meteorologists should consider adding that into their forecasts. Let's go to Amy. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. My name is Amy, and I've been listening to your show for a few months now. I found you guys on Spotify, and as soon as that playlist ran out, I subscribed for the EPP list, and just did that last week, so I'm very excited to listen to all the extra episodes. I have many stories of always seen ghosts and everything throughout my whole life. I feel like they're definitely attracted to me, so it's pretty cool. But I have a story to tell you right now. It's about an interaction that I had a little over a year ago when I first moved into my apartment. It was early one morning, the sunlight was starting to brighten up the room, and I was leaving my bedroom, shutting the door, and as I was pulling the door shut, there was a tall male figure, and he was dark. I never knew there was anything more than ghosts, but apparently now, listening to your show, I can see he's a shadow person. He just was standing there. He was fairly tall, a little over 6 foot, 6'2" probably. And he was just standing there, and he just gave me like a friendly wave, kind of as if he was saying hello, kind of like he was saying welcome to your new home or whatever. And it, at the time, it scared the crap out of me. I freaked out and went into my room, turned the lights on, looked all over the place, and you know, nobody else was in there, so I did not know what to think. But you know, as time has gone on, he does other things. I haven't seen him again, but he lets myself and other people know that he's there. One time there was a guy I was dating, he was in my room and I wasn't home. No one else was home. There was no breeze, nothing that could have knocked anything over, but the laundry hamper got pushed over, and it freaked him out a bit. Don't think the shadow man liked him, and I actually ended that relationship because he was a bad person, so I think the shadow man knew that ahead of time. But yeah, he's kind of just there to be friendly, it seems. to be helpful, I guess. Never have I felt intimidated, but little things happen here and there, and it's just kind of cool to know that he's there. I'm not sure if he lives specifically in my apartment or just the entire apartment building. I haven't seen him or heard him in a while, so maybe he's in another part of the building, who knows. And another question that I have is, I've heard that it's not the best idea to ask for a ghost or spirit to come out. My boyfriend now knows that story, and he likes to be a jerk, and he'll like jokingly say, tell the guy, the shadow man, to come out, and I get really mad at him, and I tell him, don't do that, you're not, you know, they come out when they want to be seen or heard. I just don't know if it can be bad if you ask them to come out, or disturbing to them, I don't know. But yeah, that is my interesting little story. So hope you guys like it. Thank you for making this great show. I love that you guys release the episodes very frequently, and there's something new all the time. So thank you very much for listening, and I hope to hear it on the show. Thanks.
Thanks for sharing your story with us. And I want to note quick, the Spotify episodes are all still there. A couple weeks back, there was some change in some of the back-end audio stuff. But if you you were subscribed on Spotify, you can still find our show there. Just research Real Ghost Stories online and just refollow it. And everything is there.
It's still there.
Yep.
I think if you ask anything, especially a shadow person, because you really, really don't know what you're getting there, to show itself, I think it's just risky.
Yeah.
This sounds like a very outgoing and friendly shadow person, which is not the norm, but I, like we've said, we don't necessarily think all shadow people are bad.
Mm-mm.
But I just don't know about encouraging it to manifest.
Yeah, I really, anytime you do that, and I think what the issue is, even if you have something good and you're asking it to come out, you don't know if that is the thing that's present with you in the room at the time or around you. And if you're asking something to come out, you may end up getting something else to come out that may not necessarily be what you think it is or who you think it is.
Mm-hmm.
And inviting is not a good thing. So, yeah, it's not the best of ideas. You're right there with your gut of, I wouldn't play into asking it to show itself. But don't judge a shadow person by its shadow.
Yeah, exactly.
That could be a T-shirt.
Uh-huh.
I don't judge shadow people by their shadow, but it's true, because we get stories like that where, you know, you get a bad rap.
Mm-hmm.
They're not all bad. I think it's in that whole world of ghosts. It's just the way that some are able to show themselves, and others show themselves in other ways. I think it's a matter of what abilities they have and don't have. So. There you go. Thank you for the call, and thank you for sharing your experiences with us. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Thank you guys for listening. If you like our show, you want to keep this thing going and on the air and get rewarded with a whole bunch of bonus episodes, 100 some of those for you, of the EPP episodes. Those are the ones that are best ghost stories on. And then the archive of episodes that have fallen off of iTunes, 300 some there. So all in all, it's like 400-some episodes you can just binge away on. You go to ghostpodcast.com, and get all of that material right there. $5 a month is all it is. You're going to sign up for a full year if you want, and get a free month out of that. Video stuff, seeing ghost episodes, it's all up there. Ghostpodcast.com, and that's what funds this thing and keeps it on the air. So check it out, ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.